Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up, guys? It's James Stewart here. Welcome to Bubba Swirl, the podcast, episode 3. I'm happy to be back with my boy, Roger. Say what up, Roger.
I'm happy to be back.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
And you guys know Cole. What's your last name again?
Beach.
Biatch.
Cole
He's
Beach.
He's back. Anyways, man, I missed you guys. We've been doing the recaps, but we're back on the big stage right here doing the episode with Bubba's World. So let's get this thing started. Man, it has been a minute.
Been a couple minutes.
Yeah, you said like you were supposed to do this two weeks ago. Yeah, and you're like, you're feeling that good, whatever it was. So you had COVID, huh?
I had COVID, yeah. And you know I was sick.
I know.
Cole Beach, you know I was sick. Cole saw me.
No, yeah, he was.
Roger was not looking too hot.
No. Well, he never really looks that hot. Just kidding.
But I'm telling you, this one, I was looking. I was rough.
Yeah, I felt that one because I remember I kept asking, like, dude, what is it? You know how, like, when your girlfriend or whatnot, say, fix you that nice dinner or whatever it is, but you know something's, like, up? That's how I felt talking to you.
He kept saying it. I'm like, what's he seeing that I don't? I'm trying to tell myself I'm better. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But everyone that I know, like, that I'm close with, you, Eddie said something. They're like, dude, you're not.
Yeah, no, it was weird. It was weird. And then you, like, hung up. Like, I was like, all right, man, I'll holler. Clear.
Like, we talk like Monday mornings, like kind of like our own recap. He called me that Monday. I remember looking at my phone. I was like,
red button.
Not today.
Not today. Junior ain't getting it today.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. That's okay. You've been doing that to me lately. But, hey, it's cool. But not this week because we're back.
We're back.
So we got to recap. Where are we at, man? We got to go through some where the standings at.
Oh, no. Here's what we're going to talk about. Let's talk about this golf tournament that you did.
That's old news. That was awesome. That was the first ever golf tournament that Hilton Grand Vacations. That's what I had to say when I was up there. But it was cool. I've never done anything like that. Not even any golf tournament, but like just a tournament in general. Like I kind of keep to myself, kind of like my racing career. That's how I kept in the golf. And I show up, I play, hit some balls, and I go home. But the CEO, Mark Wayne, from Hilton, he's my neighbor. So he was a fan. He's been watching and he invited me. And the whole time in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'm going. I never really thought like I would actually end up going.
You weren't going to go?
No, I wanted to go, but it didn't feel real. Like when you don't do something, like you're like, man, I'm going to be on TV, like golfing. But then like I got there that week, it was cool. Did the Golf Channel interview and then seeing those pretty ladies out there. That was, man, they're like athletes straight up. Like they hit the ball so far and they're like in their own little world. Like the girl I played with, her name was Mel Reed. And you know, she won a tournament cause that's how you get in there. It's like not just golf tournament. It's the best women in the world that come to this thing and they're in their own zone. They're kind of focused, but like, it was cool to see him. Like, I've never been that close to another athlete in an environment, their environment. And it'd be like somebody coming to a race.
Right.
And in like racing with me on the gate, just seeing how it was. So it was cool. You know, they were locked in, but they were really cool. Some of the other athletes that was showed up, like, you know, I played with the NASCAR dude, like Michael Waltrip. My dad probably been a fan of his, and met the long drive kid, which is another black athlete, which was cool. Sterling Sharp, a lot of different people. Larry Fitzgerald.
To be honest, when you were telling me about it, I'm like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Yeah. I'm like, golf, you do that every day. Like, why are you telling me about this golf game?
It was cool. I felt special, like, to go inside the ropes. And like I said before, it was, you would think I would be nervous. Like, and I was nervous all the way up until, like, I got there. And then being inside the ropes felt like I was racing. Like, I was so, like, calm. My best ever shots was in front of people. Like, I actually hit good tee balls off the tee. I didn't score well, like, obviously. Yeah. But
I got a few texts saying that Larry the Cable Guy beat you, but.
No, what?
I did.
They must don't got cable.
Did I not tell you that?
Yeah, Roger did tell me that.
What was this? What was he known for? What was his saying?
Oh, get her done.
Yeah, get her done.
I got her done. No, Larry Cable Guy, I think he finished next to last. I was not even. What, I was kind of close to that, but not that far down.
So, yeah, where did you finish? How did the whole week kind of go? Break that down.
I mean, we got to, like, warm you up. You're not supposed to be in right now. No, actually, to be honest with you, Friday in golf, like, all you golfers know, like, it's kind of a luck of a draw. Like, it's not like racing where, like, the best person, like, it's really conditions, like, win. It's kind of like the U.S. Open Super Bowl when I won it 1 year. Like, Wyndham went out first. Normally, you'd be like, all right, track got to break in, but it started raining by the time I came in there. So the golf tournament, the way I went out,
yeah,
I
was playing. It was cold there, too, wasn't it?
It was cold on Saturday and Sunday. Thursday and Friday was awesome. But the way the wind was blowing, I went off on the back nine, because at golf, you can go off on the front or you can go off on the back. Well, I went off on the back, and then the holes I had coming in, which was 7, 8, 9, was long holes, but they were into the wind. So I'm making an excuse, but I struggled. And then on Friday, I actually played pretty well. I was only like 10 points back from like the lead up there. I think I was in like top, at one time, I was top five. And then Saturday came. Saturday, I caught in a freaking wind rainstorm on there for 2 hours. I played 2 hours of my round in the rain, and I couldn't even hold on to the club. So I basically went like 7 or 8 holes with no points.
Ooh.
And I just got pulled away from.
So you can kind of like pick, or you can't pick when you are actually going to tee off.
No, the way it kind of works is on Thursday and Friday, you go off in the morning and in the afternoon, which normal tournaments. But with this one, since it was kind of like a, you know, with TV, and that was the week of the playoffs, like, we all went off in the morning, but there's like a 3 hour difference. And normally in a normal tournament, you got 120 some players or something like that. This was only like 50 like women. So there was only 50 tee times, but it was still like a 3 hour like window. And Friday and Saturday, Thursday and Friday, I went off in the morning. And, but then Saturday, since I moved up, I went off like at 10 o'clock and I was like, cool, it's going to be a little warmer, all that. Well, the guys that went off in the morning, they scored well, because like by the time they got to that, like by the time it started raining, they were done on there. So I played my middle part of the round in the rain. And then as soon as I finished, it would stop raining like on there. So the people who went out after me, they kind of got lucky. So it was kind of a luck of a draw, but I mean, not to say I would have probably played any better, but I had a good time. Like, I had a good time for the first time ever doing it. And just the people I met, and thank you to all the fans that came out. There were a lot of love out there. A lot of love from Black Bubba, man. I was keeping it real out there. Had some fans come out like straight up like Bubba's World podcast. Like, hey, what's up? And, but the cool part was to be around the athletes and, you know, to have those guys like know who I was, like that was special. That was really cool. I didn't think that would be, as much people watch, well, the show, but like kind of watch like me in my career and stuff. I watched them, but that was kind of a humbling thing. So
no, it's cool.
Yeah.
Do you think you could have been like, say, redo it all, a professional golfer?
No. I mean, I like to say, like, if I would, I could have been anything if I would have like put my mind to it, except for football, because I don't like getting hit and I'm not tall enough to be basketball. And, you know, black people don't really swim. Sorry, Phelps. Maybe I could have talked. But I think golf, it's like I explained it to people. It's like literally, I mean, between my Friday round and Saturday, it's like winning the Supercross on Saturday night, showing up Sunday and like not qualifying and be like, I rode the same. Like, it's just impossible. So
you mean it's like a roller coaster?
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, you go to sleep and then you all of a sudden you're hitting the ball left and you can't figure out like why you're hitting the left. Like, it's in racing, it's, and look, the suspension, like, yeah, you just don't lose your skill. I know why things are happening, and that's why I hate golf, and that's why I love it, because
that's why I hate it.
It's always a challenge. So
Roger, do you play at all?
I'm not a golfer. No, I get so frustrated just for that, exactly what he just said.
Yeah.
I have enough frustration in my life. I don't need to add anymore. That's what that is.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's a different type. I think it's helped me through my career too, because I used to be the same way. Like, man, I ain't playing that crap. Like, I ain't playing golf. Like, it looks boring. But, you know, when you start thinking about it, it's the hardest shot in golf is like the one after you just shank the ball. Like, to regroup and be like, okay, in your head, you're like crashing the whoop section and be like, all right, I got to do it right now. Like, to figure that out and be able to like do it, like, it helped me throughout my career, like, to really like mistakes and all that stuff, to kind of throw it out and be like, I got to focus back on like hitting this next shot. So I look at golf as like each hole is almost like a, you know, its own little race. So
it's funny. I was just watching one of the recap shows last night, doing some homework for this show. Mm-hmm. And you were saying, I think you were talking about Kenny falling and, how hard it is to like get back up, regroup, get back. I think you were talking about the top guys, how fast they get
the hustle.
The hustle.
Yeah. I kind of like, as I was saying that, like, I remember, like, you know, I think it was Webb or Mike Webb. Somebody, one of my team managers, said something to me about it. And like, it's a little different than golf, because, you know, in golf, like, you, it's more the mental part of like when you shank a ball or whatnot. It's like not knowing what happened. Like, when I crashed and like trying to regroup, like, all right, I crashed, but like, it's kind of up to me to like, all right, focus and get back in the moment of trying to, you know, remember like points. Well, my whole career, like, since I was on 50s, like, my dad taught me, like, look, we going to the race and we're winning, but we ain't going to the race. So to have that mindset of like being in a position where you can't win a race, that's why I retired. Like, I was like, I don't think I can win anymore, so I'm done. I don't want to do it. Or leading a race and then like have knowing in the back of your mind that, you know, I don't have a chance to win this thing. It's hard. So when I was pointing out Kenny and some of the guys, and it's not jumping on Kenny, because I did it myself, but it's just a different mindset of always trying to like snap back in the moment, because everything is just dropped out. And I think Kenny having a hole shot, and normally when he hole shots, he usually wins. So for him getting knocked down, I think he would have been a different circumstance if maybe he was like in third and got knocked down. I think he would probably got back up. But the fact that he was winning and got knocked down, he just kind of slowly got back up. So that was my point. And yeah, it's just a different mindset. And you look at the guys in fifth place that have, usually that's where their bread and butter is. Like, they just get back up. They get back up. And somebody said to me on my Instagram that like Ricky was a guy, and I give him credit. He was, you know, he was a guy that got hustled. But I think that was because he knew he had JS7. You know, he couldn't let me get out that far. Sometimes Ricky would go down and still catch me, but only in the outdoors, though. Only in the outdoors. I kind of let him do it. But again, back to my point, it's just a hustle side. It's just a hustle. So yeah, no big deal.
No, I think those recap shows are good, and they're getting better. I enjoy watching them. Like I said, I watched a few of them last night just for a little info on this show.
So you're watching the recaps to get more info like this?
Well, it's funny. I like to hear, like, so we do these recaps on Mondays, you and I, but yeah.
Even
watching the same race, and like A1, for example, we talked on Monday. I'm like, wow, what a crazy weekend, huh? Crazy race. Like, I didn't see that coming. And then you're like, well, let's see what happened. Kenny won by a lot. Chase was fast but crashed. Yeah. Malcolm was like fourth or fifth. Like what? Yeah. What wasn't there to expect? I'm like, damn. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much every week that I come in and we start watching a race, I'm like, oh, that was such a good race, wasn't it?
Yeah. He's like, yeah. I'm like, bro, really?
But he has a point.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. That's.
I mean, dude, like I haven't raced in years, and like I'll change my whole day to watch the Supercross, like the practice, like on there. Like if I'm out doing something, like I got it on my phone. I paid up my money to Peacock to get my, you know, subscription. Like I love watching it. So like to me, like it kind of see stuff happening, like, and see it coming. And then again, like this kind of my, the point of view of like, all right, you get excited. There's so many things going on, but like when you really start thinking about it, like what's really changed, like on there, the guys that have always been doing good is either doing good or like, kind of what I mentioned, like, you know, with Cooper, like I felt like either he'll be a title threat or he won't finish top five. Like there's no in between. And that's kind of where it's going. The guy that's actually looking good, and we'll get into it in a little bit, is Eli. I think he's pretty much the only person that's like, I would say I see a difference in him on there. And, you know, and it's not just like, oh, he's fast or whatnot. He's always been fast, but I see a difference in him. And I think that only bodes well for him. You know, but maybe not everybody not else. But the other stuff, like what's surprising this year? Like really, it's been exciting. Not to say like I'm not like a fan or I don't enjoy the racing.
Right.
But as far as the excitement as changes and oh my gosh, like I don't see like there's so much that's different. I didn't surprises. There ain't no surprises.
There is one surprise in my mind.
What?
Anderson.
I was going to say that too.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, now. I mean, the kid, he's a Supercross title. He's a champion.
Neither one of us had him picked as top five.
Yeah, but not because...
Nicole Beach did, I think.
He did.
Yeah.
I don't give him credit. He said he was going to win Anaheim 1. He looked good. But really, he's a Supercross champion. So
but he hasn't won a race since 18.
But he's a Supercross champion. Cooper Webb went from like ready to retire to the next year winning the Supercross.
So he's not a surprise either by doing as poorly as he is this far into the season?
Cooper?
Yeah.
No. I was more surprised that
you had him in your top five. So you,
because he's a champion. Like I wouldn't have been surprised if he was fighting for a title, but
you're
like,
not surprised at what he's doing right now?
No, I said it. Like I thought either he would be all, because Cooper, what makes him, like, it's not like he was always the fastest guy. It's not like he has something that somebody else doesn't. So his mindset was the difference. That to me was the championship, like why he's won, because he was stronger mentally. So that was the only reason I picked him. Like, all right, like, is he faster? No. Like, what does he has that anybody else doesn't? So it was the mindset. So either he would be a title threat or he wouldn't. Like, there's no in between, like, for me. So it's not a surprise that he's doing what he's doing. And I said that. So,
all right.
Yeah. Maybe the one surprise is Ferrandez. Yeah. Yeah, I just for him.
Oh, yeah, you had him picked as your top five too.
Yeah, I think he was like second or something. And, you know, I just thought like, I we talked about it a little bit before we got on the air. I just thought the fact that he won that outdoor title, that there'd be more like, I wouldn't say determination because they all have determination, but I just thought there'd be more, I'm trying to think of the word, will fight. Like in him, like, you know, when he would, you know, when he went down to Anaheim, kind of what I was saying about Roczen and all that, like he got up, you know, not really in a rush, you know, kicking his levers, like you said, like, and I've seen that a couple like times this year. Like it's like, it's just not a guy that's like, that's just, he's the defending outdoor title. And I thought the fact that he won the outdoor title, being consistent, like coming up and passing people, you know, that was his whole, like, I thought he'd be more of a threat. And then I started thinking about it and I'm like, well, Supercross is hard to win. Like it's different than outdoors. Like outdoors, you got two chances. Like even though if you DNF, like you're still in the hole, but you got two motos. You got way more time in outdoors. You got 30 minutes. You got two of those. And if you're in shape, you can still like, you could be slow and then still like pass people, where Supercross is a sprint. You go down in the first corner, you're out. You know, you get a bad start with this field, you're out. You have one DNF, you're out. Well, outdoors, you got time to like make up. So the pressure of like, are having to have a start. Being perfect is way stronger in Supercross, and I kind of overlooked that fact. And so as I'm watching it, Ferrandis, the things that I thought would make him like better, like from the outdoor title, like I start, it's, they're not the same. It's not the same. So
I think it's going to come.
It'll come because he's too good. He's too good.
He qualified.
He won't. I mean, he's not a title threat. He might win a couple races this year, but as far as title, he's done.
Yeah, he's been up there in qualifying too. But so
A1, shows, like, I think he was maybe fifth, and I'm like, damn, maybe I should have picked him. Like,
yeah.
And then the main comes and
and
finished. So,
and again, like, it's what kind of sport can you say? I mean, even outdoors, you're four. I mean, five races into it, you don't got no chance to win title.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, in his case, all right, if something happens to Eli, something happens to
Jason.
Well, the good thing for Anderson is like Cooper's the only other guy outside of, like, I guess Eli that you would say, like, usually, well, not even yet. Cooper's the only guy that's, if he was winning the title, had a points lead, you kind of know he's not going to have bad races because that's his whole career has kind of been like that. When he's on, he's on. Well, Chase and Jason, like, and the other guys, they've shown even this year to have like moments. So to say like Ferrandis doesn't have a chance to win would be kind of like, you got to look at who's in front of him. And as long as Eli's doing what he's doing right now and riding away, and that change I've seen, if he keeps like that, he ain't got no shot. But if something did happen to him, he might have one because of the guys that's up there right now.
I had actually heard Zacho say, because he could relate a little bit after being the outdoor champion and then coming into Supercross season, he just had so much pressure on him that he feels like Dylan's kind of in the same spot and he's expected to do so well right off the bat, and that kind of could be playing in his head a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I could see. I mean, there's pressure, and I think with Dylan, I mean, the fact that he's won a motocross title, maybe the pressure is coming from having your teammate like do as good as he is and maybe looking the best ever. I don't think it's the pressure of everybody else expecting to win. I just think it's the one thing you overlooked was there's a big difference between winning. The margin of error in Supercross is so small, if not any, none, compared to winning an outdoor title. And even though he won that outdoor title, I don't think he's figured out the whole Supercross and got that part jailed. So that's why it took Eli a long time to win, you know, but he won like almost four outdoor titles. You know, like,
yeah,
but then he struggled in Supercross, and you would think that,
but he figured it out.
Yeah. But it takes the trial and, you know, things going good and bad and like going through the mud to figure that part out. But he won the outdoor title. Like, he won that. And that same guy that forgot how to ride a motorcycle and fell over. And I think it was 17, at New York. Pulled the whole shot. Oh, they were tied for the lead after that gnarly race in Salt Lake City. Him and Dungey, they were tied. And then he went up to the next race and just fell over. Yeah, yeah. And then fell in the whoops twice. Took forever to give up. But you can tell the pressure got to him. But then he went out and won out the title.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. So I don't know. So anyways, let's go to a commercial break, and then we got to get into this, even though we kind of jumped into
it. Yeah, we did a little bit, but...
Yeah,
we'll be all right.
We'll be all right. Let's go to a commercial break.
Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship.
Are you ready? Let's do it!
Don't miss Monster Energy Supercross. Coming to Angel Stadium of Anaheim, February 12th. Visit supercrosslive.com for more details and get your tickets today.
All right, guys, welcome back. We got to figure out the moment of truth. Where we at? Five rounds into it, four winners. How we looking? Top three. I feel pretty good.
I feel pretty good.
I mean, what did you? You had Cooper, Eli, and then the Fever.
Yeah,
he's in fifth, right? In points or fourth?
You got the sheet right in front of you.
I didn't ask you, Cole.
I told you. Asked me, and I just told you.
Yeah, you didn't say anything. You did. Well, you did. Threw it up. Yeah, let's see.
I hit you with the four.
You hit me with the foe. Yeah, I mean, he's got it.
Because the first show, I hit you with the three.
Didn't I call? I'm looking pretty good because I think I had Barsha in fourth, right? I did. He was four or five. So
where's he at?
He's in five, 3 points, 4 points back. But yeah, I mean, the championship pick, Mookie's only, what, a few points out of the lead. Yeah. Well, anyways, yeah.
Man. But this whole show and doing these picks, it's crazy. Like, sitting in the stands and now watching the race, it just gives me a whole, like, I'm literally having conversations with you in my head. Well, and most of it's "I told you so," or
you love that, yeah, don't you?
I do love that, but
yeah. Well, I mean, your rhyme or reasons, like when I was like, well, why?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Why? It's like,
I don't know. I just, come on, God. That's just the way it is. Like, I feel like
it is the first time I ever picked, like, predictions of anything, but I feel like I got reasons for it. But you're more on the scene. Like, you got more inside scoop than, like, you know about, like,
you well, know, I'll dude. Give you this. When I had to sit out San Diego because of COVID, and I was actually kind of looking forward to just watching it on TV, just like a fan. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get some more insight because I can watch A, B, C practice. And because when Mel got hurt in 19, I didn't go to some races and would watch. But you can learn so much. But now, Race Day Live, I think we talked about this. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna help Race Day Live out here. Here's what they got to do. They got to zoom out a little bit and let the viewers take a lap with the riders, not zoom in on one guy and just follow him around.
Yeah,
I was kind of bummed. Like, so yeah. I'm watching Race Day Live and I'm like, well, how are you picking up so much info? And then you tell me you're watching the times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually got it here. I got it on my phone because I was going to break down the times of when Anderson got in second, like the third main event. Anderson got in second, and there was like one lap he was a second faster, and then another one, like, he was faster except for one lap out of the five that he was behind him. He was only like 2-3 tenths slower. But if you look at the time, the actual gap, he never caught Chase. Like, he actually never caught him. Being a second faster and second the whole time, you know, half 10, you would think he was only 4 or 5 seconds behind. It would at least got down to like 2, but he didn't. So I was looking at it, and then I had to break down the segments of where he was actually, like, you know, making up time to where when he crossed the checkered flag, why wouldn't, like, it was never like matching up. And Chase, he mentioned it in the race, like he was doing something in segment 4 because Anderson would catch him everywhere else on there. But segment 4, right before the checkered flag, Chase was doing something that would pull that lead back out. And when you look at the Supercross, it changes like throughout each segment, like when you look at the time. So there was times where it's, you know, Anderson was coming up and he was like, all right, it was down to 3 and it was only half a lap into it. But then when you got back to the checkered flag, it was back where it was. So it was weird to try to do it. So if you look on the lap time, so back to your point, that's how I watch everything. Like, it's more, you got to be more in tune than, you know, just watching the camera. But your Supercross Race Day Live, to me, besides Hot Wheels Holly being gone, this is how it's always been.
They need,
like,
Holly
I don't
back.
Know what you watch.
They, no, they, it, They would pull back a little bit.
The other guy's cool.
Yeah,
he's fine too. It's fine. Jim. Welcome. Yeah.
Bring his Nokia phone over.
show some pictures. Hey, yeah. But that's kind of how it always been. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. This lap, like, as if like
I just remember the
TiVo in this thing.
Cameras pulled out. Show us the track.
Should they have it on Spanish too? Like, you got the option to go to Spanish network.
They zoomed in on like four laps of
Stank Dog.
But they're talking about Roczen. So it was just frustrating. It wasn't what I was expecting.
Sounds like the recap. Sounds like me talking about Stank Dog while I'm talking about the 450 main event. Like, no, that's kind of how it always been. So to me, I feel in my element on there. You just got to do the studying.
But you
still got more insight on, like, you know, like the free situation, like whatever happened, like there, like actually what happened, like on there? Did they actually get into it at the end of the race? Because my opinion is different than what everybody else thinks on there, honestly.
Let's hear it.
I don't think that was actually a dirty pass. I don't think it was dirty. I only think Freeze actually meant to take dude out. And I can explain it if you like. But yeah, he comes in here. And now watch the other angle. First off, him and Craig, they're equal. They're even. Excuse me. And to Freeze's point, Craig's up in the air. So he thinks he can get that dive, like he can make up that difference and be in front of him. And like right here, he slams on the brakes. Like he knows, like, this ain't gonna end well. Freeze might be dirty, but he ain't stupid. And like anybody that would try to make that pass in that speed, that section, like that would be just crazy. So I don't think he intentionally actually went to go hit dude on there. And people were overreacting and, oh, he was dirty. And as far as Craig being upset, I get it. I'd be pissed off too. I would be pissed off, like, if, I mean, all the fans. Was it an aggressive pass? Like, yeah, it was. But I think people going to the point where, oh, he should be black flagged and all this stuff. Like, when you sit back and watch the video, Freeze, like, Vince, he actually tried to, like, miss the dude. Like, I mean, it wasn't like he was way behind him coming into it and he just pinned it. I don't think he was ever going to the inside right here. And he slams on the brakes and they actually get caught up. And that's why Craig went down. Craig's on the outside. He kind of leans into Vince and they get caught up and he went flipping over. But to say it was dirty and he was trying to hurt the dude, I don't really even see that at all. Yeah, I would have been pissed too. In the moment, for sure. Like, it's the person that did it more than anything else. If Joe Shimoda would have done that, I don't think anybody would have been like, oh, it's aggressive, whatnots. But it wasn't dirty. I can understand what Ricky even said, like, that, like, calling Vince out.
What did he say?
I think he called him out. Like, that was, like, he was like, what the hell you're doing? And at first, again, I understand that part. But Vince, he wasn't ever going to the inside.
Yeah, but also, too, we got to watch this, like, 10 times.
Yeah, right here. Like, Craig gets in there and watch. Vince is on the brakes, and he just catches him. Like, I actually think he caught his handlebar or his, it's side plate. Actually, more, I keep watching it. Yeah, all right, right here. They're even. He's on the gas, comes in on the brakes. Yeah, Craig leans into him. He hits his arm. But again, if you know about racing and all that, the whole point of Vince actually trying to hit Craig at that point would be ridiculous. Like, as fast as that section was. Now, was he trying to get back around him? Was he trying to get in? Like, yeah, but to, like, that happening, there's no way. That wasn't intentional. That wasn't intentional because he was going to hurt his own self. So I don't know. That's just my opinion on that. Like, I think that's more of an unfortunate situation. And again, for Vince having the history of, like, doing stuff like that, he's already behind the eight ball, but that's not I've seen way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse. I mean, the guy taking out the seven guys was worse than that, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's Euros on there. But people were pissed, huh?
During the lights.
That's kind of stupid. Yeah, I know they were pissed. I mean,
during the lights main, we're back at the truck.
Yeah.
And so as they're getting done, I'm walking into the stadium. Vince's wife is walking out, like, empty parking lot. She's walking towards me. I'm walking towards her. And I just saw the beginning of the race on TV, so I knew he'd gotten a start. So I'm like, how do you do? And she just looks at me like, you really going to ask me that? And then she just says, don't ask.
My question would be, what does Vince think about it? What did he say?
I don't know. Well,
he hasn't said anything that I know of. Well, I think Genova,
the team said that it was because he didn't get a sight lap.
And that they couldn't tell where the lines were.
Yeah, okay. Next.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't get any sort of penalty from the AMA, so.
Well, I mean, you said J-Bone's running that. Like, that's cool. That's cool for Bone because he is really smart, like, and intelligent. Like, he knows about racing. So I can see why he didn't on there, like, watching this. Like, I wouldn't find him.
And he doesn't get all crazy, like.
Yeah, I mean, like but he black flagged Bogle, right? Like, he was a part of that.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they black flagged.
They didn't black flag him. They just penalized him after.
You Vital guys, like, y'all need to get y'all story straight.
Oh, you're reading too much and trusting into Vital?
Look, dude,
that's your first problem.
Like, look, I'm here for y'all. Like, I'm trying to figure out. Like, I get my intel from there. I watch the race discussions. Oh, I get it all. That's how I get free practice. Thank you, by the way.
There's race discussions on there?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't take their opinion on a lot of this stuff, but like, he did say Bogle got black flagged.
No. Penalized after.
Smooth criminal. That still was sexy. That was good. But.
Oh, his takeout?
Yeah. But either way, he got penalized. Barsha got penalized. Like, those were. Like, there's passes that you see that are intentional that he went in, like, I'm going to try to knock this dude down. Vince, that I don't see it, man. I don't see it. And if he did do it, the guy's stupid. I'm sorry to say, like, that would just be stupid because you're going to kill yourself on that. Like, there was no way that he would get be able to knock Craig down without knocking himself down.
I'm like, I see your point, but I'm still like on the page of like, I think he almost like blacks out when he races because I just, that, it doesn't seem logical to do that. Like to come in that hot into that corner.
I mean, you're right. And I see that too. That's why I keep saying like, if you go back and watch it, especially from that shot from behind,
you can see like where
the incidental contact of like, he actually caught Craig's arm. So that's why Craig went down. I mean, if he wouldn't have hit his arm, he would actually like, he would have just been in there tight. But he wouldn't have caught, like, they wouldn't have went down. Now, I think the reason he kept trying to, like, go in for it is because when Craig's up in the air, like, they were a lot closer than the camera angle looks. Like, they're even right here. So he's like, all right, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to beat Craig. He probably feels like he's going to pull out. And even that little, like, bump that got into it right before the, if you go back just a tiny bit, the bump that kicks up Vince, like, right here, like he can't get on the brakes, but when you see
but he's
him
on the brake here
right now, he's on the brakes because he realizes like, oh snap,
and he's coming in hot.
Yeah, he's coming in hot. He's sliding. Craig doesn't get out of it, but his line was never going to the inside. So people were saying like, oh man, he jumped the corner, like he was like jumped from the inside out. He was never intentionally going to the inside. He was trying to beat Craig there, but right here, that's where the contact goes down.
The thing that gets sticky is like Vince. Now he's a great rider, but he's not fighting totally in that championship fight. And then you got Christian, who
It was a points leader.
And you could possibly throw away his whole season in championship because of it. Yeah, like I see your point. I'm just saying that's where like a lot of people's, you know, discrepancy and their hard comments are coming from.
I get it, but that's not okay. Like people's theory on that, like realize Vince, like. As much as people like and say, he actually feels like he can win. Like the dude races like he can win on there. So like to him to back out because Craig's in the points lead, like that ain't never going to happen. Like if he was laughing him or this was like at the end of the championship, like I can see that happening. But Vince, again, I don't know the dude personally, but I could just tell the way he rides. Like that whole mindset of like, okay, Craig's in the points lead. The fact is like Vince feels like every time he races, like he can like compete against these guys. And he actually looks better this year. Even though he went down the class, he looks better than he ever has. So I don't see him like backing out because of that. Now let's say Jalik Swole in that situation, case in point, got it. Jalik's been out. He ain't racing for a title. Like he's still coming up. So I would see that
And that's the thing that, like, you just got to look at who you're talking about compared to, like, oh, well, yeah, he's not in points lead. He's trying to ruin Craig's. I don't think none of that. I think Vince was actually trying to race the dude because he actually feels like he's a podium guy and he can, like, win. The intentional of, like, trying to take Craig out or anything like that.
I'm on that page. I don't think there was an intention.
But fans think that.
Yeah, no, fans. But fans, and we all do it. Like, Vince already has, like, he's a dirty rider before he shows up. Like, that's just his motto. He can run into the gate. Yeah, if there were any other
rider, we wouldn't be spending 10, 15 minutes on this.
Yeah, I think any other rider would have had a reason why. Like, you'd be like, oh, my throttle's stuck. Oh, why? Like,
oh, I missed the rear brake.
Yeah, or I was trying to kill the dude. Yeah. Like, on there, the fact is, like, with Vince, he gets caught because he's Vince on there. And I just think, like, the blacking out part. There's so many things that happen in a short period of time to think, like, Craig is right here. He just jumps. I think I can beat him to that corner. And, like, once he realized that he couldn't do it, he tries to stop on there. And that's the part that I see. Now, if I wouldn't have saw him hit the brakes or him sliding, I would be like, oh, yeah, that's dirty. But I just think he thought in that 50 feet that he can get in front of Craig. Well, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
And then, thing happened. So that's why I was saying, like, what does he have to say about it? And he probably hasn't, if he hasn't said anything, it's probably because he knows that it doesn't really matter. Everybody's got a notion anyway that no matter what you say, you were trying to kill him.
Yeah, he hasn't spoken anything.
Well, he did make like a Instagram story and it was like a photo of him battling with someone and they were like going on the inside of him and he posted like, I love this so much or something.
Oh, yeah. Really? I mean,
you never had any run-ins with him, have you?
No. I mean, but the dude is dirty, but that being said, like, you got to give the guy credit because we're racing, like, it's mental, man. And, like, some guys, you just come up to them, like, you've already won half the battle just because of what they think about you. And I've always said this, like, part of this is, like, what the preconceived notion of what people think of you. Well, Vince is a hard dude to get around. Yeah. He's a very hard. And it's not like he's jumping from side to side or he's, or he's riding a four-wheeler. It's just because people are already afraid of what he might do and how aggressive he is. So, like, think about, like, that race right there. I guess the one before, he was up front. Look how long it took people to get around him. That's because they were afraid of him. So that whole, like, oh, I love this. I'm into it. Like, this is awesome. Is part of what makes Vince, like, hard. And that's why he's probably doing as good as he is. Because once they got around him, they blew his ass out of the water.
Well, yeah. You do hear a lot of riders say, like, that he is unpredictable going through rhythms at times. Like, you can visibly see certain riders when they're coming up and they're faster than him, they will tone it down in a rhythm lane. Like, Joe Schmoda actually had a post-race press interview about it saying, like, you know, I wasn't sure really where to pass him. And then he tried to pass him on the 90-degree corner before the triple in the other end zone. And he went too far on the inside and he made the wrong call on when trying to pass him. But yeah, people, their argument is he's just very hard to judge what he's going to do going through rhythm lane.
Yeah, well, I think that's why he's Vince Freeze. And that's why that doesn't make him dirty. You know, like, him being dirty is the things that he did dirty, like taking somebody out. Like, part of racing and the raceman craft is like he uses the way he races, the way others think of him, like I use the whoop section, like I use it in my advantage. Like, if they're kind of unsure of what I'm going to do, well, then that just makes it easier for me to stay in front of them.
Right.
So Joe going down, and you can see probably if it wasn't Vince, maybe Craig wouldn't even try to go out like that. Like, he maybe just sat back behind him. But people do things, like, around certain people, like, to – because of how they ride. Like, Justin Barsha is another guy like that. Like, people don't like, I didn't even like racing the dude. Josh Grant was like that to me. Like, I hated catching that guy because I'm like, oh, if I pass him, I know he's coming back. Well, like, that messes up my race. And Shimoda, like, I mean, I don't know why he was trying to pass him right there. There was no room, but he did it because Vince's persona of, like, he's hard to get around. So right. More power to him. I don't condone the just knocking people down and, like, cross jumping and doing things dirtiness to hurt people. But like the way he races, like you ain't gonna have nothing against me, because that's one of almost the hardest people. Like that's a tough racer to race against, like that unknown stuff. So
tougher than like the smiling assassin. And I know,
well, I mean, it's kind of the same thing, like the smiley face, like baby Jesus is over there.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, whatever, you're going to repent on Sunday, whatever it is when you go to church, like whatever it is, it was the same thing. Like I just knew. You know, Trey Canard at Millville, the race that we had in 2013, that was more aggressive than Vince Freeze right there when he didn't let off.
That was a good race. That's a good race to watch.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good race to watch.
The fact is, I didn't think he was dirty. Like, I didn't think Trey was dirty for doing. I just knew that was Trey. Like, he was going to, like, it's either me or him. Well, it's going to be both of us because he ain't backing down. Like, it's going to be on me to back down. So I kind of see that a little bit as, like, this Freeze thing. Like, kind of, like, know who you're racing against. But, yeah, they were always kind of, like, the real aggressive ones. And I almost think, like, now he wasn't dirty about it. He was just...
Who?
And Trey, like on the, he was just aggressive. So Trey Canard and Vince Freeze, they almost have that same, like, damn, I don't want to pass this dude. Like, damn, all right, when I pass him, I want to try to jump him like real quick, because if I let him there, dude's going to race me. Like, he's going to race me. And Vince has figured out how to do that. He pulls starts. So that's a problem for everybody else. People do a lot of weird things that they probably wouldn't do around them because they know he's an aggressive racer and he's hard to pass. So like, how can you be mad at a guy for like making that persona? So the dirtiness, that's a whole different deal. I don't condone that, but the way he races and stuff, like
I was stoked when I heard he was going to drop back down to the 250s. I knew it was going to be good.
Yeah. But you're like, it's going to be good for a different type of reason. Like I appreciate the way Vince rides because of like I say, the way he uses what people think against him is the way I use a whoop section and rhythm sections, like to my advantage.
Right.
Like people know big whoop section. Oh man, I ain't got no chance tonight. Like technical tracks, like Ricky hated that. He was out there yelling at Dirtworks, "Hey, cut them whoop down, cut them whoop down," because he knew it was doable. Yeah, it was, you know, I was gonna get it. So you know, Vince fools good stars. People know he's hard.
Have you seen anything so far this year that
there was a couple? You know, last weekend, I got to give Dirtworks credit. Like, the tracks look fun. Like, I mean, last weekend's track looked fun. That sand section, that was better because you had two different lines on there. Even though Vince made it one, you had two different lines compared to the sand section where Anderson went down and Roczen. But, yeah, they look fun. Like, they look fun. But nothing like...
The sand sections look fun?
No, like the tracks. Oh, the tracks. The sand
sections. I don't think anyone's ever said that.
Yeah. No, that sand section wasn't too bad. It was... I was surprised more people didn't end up where Craig went because of how much speed they had. And you go over that berm, dude. Like, you're in there where the fire marshal is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that... I think the second... after the Dragon's Back, three... There was a quad.
There's a 3-4 right there. That
Okay. Yeah. There was one, that one, but.
I mean, also off the start corner, that was a 4-4 right there.
Yeah. But those, they were like, they were kind of rounded on the back. People were jumping that. So I was actually surprised when I first seen that. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, but then I saw the transition of it. Like it was cool, but it wasn't like.
So nothing.
Nah. Maybe that rhythm section where Vince was, like going 3-3 and getting all the way over that last one instead of singling. They were going 3-3-3 maybe in single.
Single.
Yeah, there was a 4 in there at the end. Yeah. Like maybe going to that. I don't know. I think Anaheim 2, they had some cool things on there. But the tracks, they look fun. Nonetheless, they look fun.
At A2, the 3-3 Eli was doing, you didn't think that was?
No. James Stewart would end up like Jason Anderson taking parking for gas over there. My suspension setup, they ain't good for that. I used to hate those elevated corners to off cameras. You know, I knew somebody that used to think off cameras, like, she thought it was like they went off camber.
Off camera?
Yeah. Who like said she that? Was like, I ain't gonna like blow them out like on there, but her vision was like, oh, off camera is because they go away and they come back. Right. I was like, yeah, all right, let's camber first yeah. off, and then but you know, my Ebonics, you know, I'm like my camera, like she's like, hey, whatever. So yeah, I would have never, my suspension was too stiff. I wouldn't have been able to turn, so I wouldn't have jumped it.
All right.
Yeah, and it wasn't like that much faster anyway.
It was a little faster.
Yeah, whatever. But if you had a bike set up like how Eli's looking, he was the one that was doing it. Dude looks good, man.
No, he does.
Yeah, he looks good. Now I'm going to have to break him down and see if he gets that neck burn in the recap.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
See, it's just, it's all natural. It just comes, whatever. But I see a difference in him that I've never seen before on there. The dude looks comfortable. Bike setup looks good. And to me, it's not even like, I wouldn't even say, oh, look at the Yamaha. It's better than everybody else. Because you look at his teammate, Ferrandis, like he don't look like that. But to me, Eli looks like the best version of both, like the Kawi and the Honda. Like the Honda, I thought he looked really like, you know, loose, like he can turn. But then the Kawi, I thought he was faster. Like he was just outright, like I'm blowing your doors out, railing the corners. I thought he was like that on the Kawi. And he's figured out a way to match it. But just the way he's riding, like he's really patient. He's getting good starts. He let those guys win the third race, like on there. Like maybe Anderson's the only person that, like, I still see, like, if they were battling, like, he would be like worried about Anderson, like, because Anderson has more like that fight in him in there. Chase gets, if he gets a start, like he's kind of like his teammate. He's like the modern, the newer version of Kenny. Like if they let him get a start, you know, he's starting to figure out he can like just walk away, but he's still, you know, he's still young. So he makes mistakes here and there, but I just think Eli is in a different world right now. And I think overall, even if they start beating him, if he continues doing what he's doing now and it's not just on the track, just upstairs, there ain't nobody gonna beat him. There ain't nobody gonna beat him. Even if they beat him a few races, I still feel like what he's showing me is the best of the best. He's fast and he looks comfortable. The bike looks great and he's just like patient. Like, yeah. That's different.
So you're all in.
Well, I mean, from what I've watched,
I think everybody is.
Yeah, I think again, like you got to look at who's up there. And all right, so we go like top three: Eli, Jason.
Let me see. This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Eli, Jason, and Chase. Well, I'll just say those are my three guys. All right, Eli. He's always had speed. Now he's in a position where he's happy. He's feeling good. He looks comfortable doing it. He's patient. He's getting good starts. And then you got Chase and Jason. They're fast, 100%, but they both got consistency things. And if I had to pick one of the two, I would say Jason, just because he's been in there longer. And to me, Jason's the only person I've seen come up through the pack where I haven't seen Chase come up. Like, he gets up front, he can run away from guys, but he hasn't started like 10th and came up. And, you know, I think the perception of Anderson, how aggressive and fast and he looks strong at the end of the races, plays in his benefit, and everybody looks at that. So to me, that's the I would pick him over Chase or anybody else as far as giving Eli a shot. But Cooper's done. Yeah, Fernandez, unless, you know, things blow up and the ET goes ET again, which I don't see happening. I just don't think those two guys would just beat him straight up over the next 12 races, consistency-wise.
What about Roczen? What do you see?
Yeah, he's done. He's getting diapers.
He's buying diapers. It's messed up. We're five rounds in. We're already, He's done. Well, but it's true.
It is. And I'm a fan of Roczen. Like, dude, like, I mean, people might think, like, I'm hating on him. Like, the best thing you can do to somebody in, like, any kind of athlete is actually, like, talk crap about him, because that means, like, you expect a certain, you know, level of excellence and performance out of them that they're not doing. So you talk bad on them because you expect better. And so when I bring up Roczen, I just know how good the dude is. So not knocking on him, but he's done, like, on there. That's just a part of the way Supercross is. You know, you get in a position where you have a couple bad races, you look at who's in front of you, you ain't got no chance on there. And I think in the past history, even if he was up front, I would still be like, I don't know, man. If he was leading the point, I don't know. So to think that all of a sudden he's going to do it from being down would be like, where's my dollar? I'd be like, your picks.
Yeah.
Like, well, what are you basing that off of? So, but, you know, snowball chance in hell, right? Like, there's always a boxer's punch. Like, hey, everybody can catch COVID, whatever. I don't know.
I did.
Yeah, like I he, did. Like he's saying, like he got it, and he's but like, I'm still dude, here. It was real. I'm like, still it here. Was real. But wow. Yeah, they all got chances until like they hand the plate out. But
I think a lot of it has to. He's like kind of mentally defeated between. Like I did see something at.
Yeah, Cole. You're right, baby.
A2. That his mechanic, after the whole Anderson incident in the sand, his mechanic actually came over to Anderson, like, at the podium and, like, kind of let him have it a little bit. Like,
yeah, but every mechanic's going to do that.
Well, yeah, because it was San Diego where they came out of the whoops and Kenny left the inside open and Anderson kind of went in and took him a little wide, but then Kenny cut down and lost the front wheel. And then the next weekend, like, they have an incident again. So, like, yeah, you're running hot, but I think it just, like, mentally it just – kind of a defeat.
Yeah, and that's when I pick things and I look at races, that's more I look at the reactions of people more than anything else, like, on there. Because when you think of, they all fast, like, on there. Roczen, like I say, won A1 by 10 seconds. Now he's like, you know, 5th, 6th, 10th place guy. Yeah. So
yeah, 8th and
point. What happened? And say, like, all right, if you pull another whole shot, like, could he go? And I said in the recap, that look back, when he was out front, he looked back at the mechanic, he's done. Like, he don't ever do that. So those are the things that, like, I see that I'm like,
yeah,
or why I'm like, he don't have a shot. Because, like, what Cole just said, like, it's the interview. It's the way he reacts as he gets knocked down. Like, that he's defeated. He's defeated partly because he knows when he's even up there, like, it's still going to be a hard chance to try to close his title out because of the pass. Now, being in a position, same thing with Cooper. It wasn't until, like, damn, he keeps getting passed. Like, he ain't fighting these guys back. He's like, all right, he's done. That's what makes Cooper Cooper. And whenever, like, others start seeing that, like, then it's like, then I ain't picking him, because I look at his attitude. I look at the way his mechanic reacts. Like, look at when he gets up. Like, he don't even believe he can win. So, like, why should I?
What do you guys see with Malcolm? Big podium this weekend?
I mean, you picked them.
Yeah,
you picked them
in third. We got to hear it from Roger.
I told you so.
All right. No, Malcolm's doing good, but I think for sure, like, there's, if he starts getting more like these podiums and things, like, I feel like it's a building process for 23. Like, I think if he can keeps doing this, then I would say next year he'd be a title threat. But he's still learning on there. Like,
but I didn't have him picked as a to win the title. I had him picked to be third.
Yeah, I guess my point was, if he can get third, he can win. Like the
in
title. Well, I mean, even this year, if I would have picked him, I think the difference between like our top three, they could all just flip depending on who crashes, whatnot. But that mindset of being there, he's still learning that, you know, even at this race, you know, he's up there, Eli goes around him, which he showed fight. The bike looked like the better they worked on some things, but there's still a difference between like being there and being there, like but on there.
He's closing that gap.
Yeah. I mean, every time he finishes a race, every top five he gets, then they become inspected. It's just the jump on there. It's still a jump. He's starting to close it on there, but that's why I was saying in 23, he might be a guy to be like, all right, yeah, no, he's a title threat. Anybody in top three is a title threat. So, but that what I'm seeing right now is why I was like, all right, I don't think he's there yet on there, but he's coming.
Roger, tell him a little bit about what you were telling me before he showed up about the whole suspension and like a weekend before going to KTM.
Oh, well, the first thing that I noticed, the biggest change this year for Malcolm, not just how he looks physically, but I was stoked after A1 seeing the how upset he was at Marv.
Yeah.
Because in the past, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've never seen him really get mad at anyone.
Yeah.
You know, he's always the, like he races like his personality is just, he wants to be friends with everybody and, you
tell
know,
Anderson that.
Yeah. Anderson will kill him. But afterwards, Anderson will probably high five him. You know what I mean?
I was saying that when he took him out in A3.
That wasn't that bad.
Oh, no, that wasn't Scott Champion, but you probably didn't see that because that was like a home video.
What are you talking about?
Oh, he's Scott Champion. Champion never been the same. The way he took dude out at Phoenix, you know, like the team videos. Whew. He took him out so bad. I mean, it was Michael Lessie. Like, it was there.
He was probably still smiling.
I mean, he was mad because he made a mistake.
He wasn't smiling at Marv.
He came up. Yeah.
Okay, well, break this down for me. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Malcolm back. I think he was like a rookie or second year. He took out Scott Champion. I mean, I looked at him like, bruh. Yeah, all right. Like, he took him out in the bowl corner for no reason. He knocked dude in the popcorn stand. Like, blew his ass out. And I was like, why'd you do it? He's like, he was mad because he came up short on the triple before.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, he came up. Malcolm made his own mistake and got mad at Champion and took Champion out because he was just there. Like, well, that's what you call shooting a messenger. Like, like, hey, you got to send a message, shoot a witness because, I mean, shoot a hostage just to let them know you're serious. So,
but back to your point, Roger, like showing that.
No, I was just stoked that he... And that was like him. You can't make someone be angry or want to kill someone, but he was legitimately pissed. And
yeah, the people think like Malcolm, and this is kind of his whole career, to think that Malcolm never wanted to win and he wasn't into it, it's unfair because I've seen how much he works. You know, perception is another thing. And I think for him, he's part of being mad at Marvin is a part of convincing himself too. Like, you got to convince yourself that you're that person. And I think it's not saying he's doing it to make a scene, but him getting mad and him feeling like a certain type of way is also mentally making him stronger.
Yeah, but it's that. Also too, I think, you know, all the work that he put in with Eldon, like, he doesn't want someone messing that up. You know what I mean? And Marvin kind of messed that up.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, when would Malcolm be happy with that? Like, even if he wasn't working with Eldon, he still would have been mad at Marvin.
Yeah, but not as because he in the past, he's never put in that much work. So it's like easier to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like say, whatever. Cause that's how he's been in the past.
Yeah.
But even listening to that audio, I was pretty surprised. Like, how are you that angry and argue your case? So it was pretty, I mean, he put it together.
Yeah,
pretty good case.
Well spoken.
See, that's the part that I say is different. Like, I would say Malcolm would have been just as angry in the past, except for like this, he doesn't react. He wouldn't go take Marvin out because he knows he's into it for, he's in it for a different reason. He feels like he can win a title. He feels like he can get a podium. So that's the part, not being angry or Marvin taking him out. And so that's where we agree on there. Like there's a difference of not forgetting like all the work and you're here to try to finish and get on the podium at the end of the year compared to like, or in the past, I think he would have been like, I'm going to take his ass out because like he was wrong. I think that's the part that separated and maybe that's the hard work or whatnot. But I do believe that's part of the team and the situation. And, you know, he's been around because the way you're kind of saying it is almost a little unfair to him. It's saying like it's the training that makes him like angry.
No, I'm just saying that's one part of it. Like yeah. That's just one.
Yeah, I think it's the big picture. It's right. And that's a part of what Eldon does and his whole team. It's when you wake up to when you go to sleep, there's a big picture. It's what you do on Monday, how it affects you on Friday and Saturday. Yep. That's the part where you can probably sit there and argue with somebody and keep in the back of your mind, well, if I do this, then that's going to affect me down the road. And so that part's different. That I see back in the day, Marvin would be like, he'd probably be asking for a passport back to France with Malcolm. And, you know, that's a difference. So, yeah, I see a difference.
And then it was Anaheim 2. Obviously, the bike wasn't working the greatest that night. And I think he does too, maybe that cost him a podium. And
what, Marvin?
A2 with Malcolm, just how bad the bike was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's parts of the growing that he'll figure out because the pass that he made this weekend when he passed that inside right for that triple on or right. That quad section right after the start, like that's if your bike ain't working good in the whoop section or whatnot, the racer and like I'm a podium guy and believe in that, I'm still can be here no matter what. Like that's a pass that you make because if it ain't good here, it's probably good somewhere else. And I think that's I was pumped to see him like do that. But those things are a part of the belief of like, I belong up here no matter what my circumstance is. And again, that's why I'm like, all right, to make that jump from like, all right, top five, one podium to be like, all right, I'm a podium guy. Those are the mental things that like, you just got to like, it's got to happen. It's got to happen again. It's got to happen again. And then at that point, then you start mentally believing it. Then everybody else will believe it. So I think he's starting to figure that part out. And then once he does, then it'd be a different whole deal. So I don't think he could say that. Maybe the podium, like the bike cost him a podium. But I just think like Malcolm's too good. And that bike's still good enough that jumping through the whoops or whatever he was struggling at, six races from now or next year, I think he would still end up on a podium no matter what. He would have made it happen.
But where I was going with that too is after that race, which another thing that I saw that I was impressed with Mel, he left the truck, went over to KTM, sat down with Roger and Ian on his own. No one else did this. This was just him doing it. And, you know, said, hey, I need help with my bike. So, yeah. I don't know. I just thought that was a big,
yeah, it's different. And 100% you can contest that to like,
I don't think you never would have done that in the past. Not well, that we ever had
to help.
Exactly. Who are we going to talk to?
Yeah.
Tony.
Yeah. I mean that part, that's where you look at the whole picture. Like there's so many things that change with Malcolm. That's now he's in a position where I tell him it's on you. Like,
no, but that's what I'm saying. Like he went and like, and there was an issue. He went over and
yeah,
and addressed it and they're fixing it.
Yeah. And a part of that, like there's people there that can help him on there. And even if he gets help or I'd say, hey, like do this, there's somebody that you can relay that message to that will get it done before. Like he's just not, he hasn't been in those situations for that long. So 100% like, yeah, all that, like he's doing different things because he's in a different circumstance. And I think Eldon and all the off season and everything that's happening, like there's a long-term picture. He's racing outdoors this year. So his whole mindset is all year long. So he's coming up.
And even like the Eldon thing, like he's in a pretty good situation too. You know, just coincidentally, Marv and Coop, everyone else leaving Eldon, it's put Malcolm in a really, really good situation with Eldon because it's just really those two, well, AP too, but so it kind of leaves them nothing else but to, you know, work with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so it's like super one-on-one.
Yeah, you're right. And Malcolm's the number one guy over there. Like he's the number one guy as far as the podiums. I mean, Dean's there, but like he's their best chance of winning the title. So they put all the effort in him. Like he's the only, the main guy, even with Eldon, between him and Plessinger. So yeah. And Eldon, I know for him personally, like he would love to turn Malcolm around and win a title, would just be more credentials to him. So he's putting all, he's getting all the effort from everybody. So all that's helping Malcolm, like start believing that he's the guy on there, like, and not just hearing it, but him truly believing that he's the guy. And that's where I keep going back to the fact is next year, this time, if you put him in the same situation, he will make it happen because he's a guy on there, and it's a process that's happening to him. So yeah, we'll see. That's where I look at Eli. He believes he's the guy now. You can tell from everything, the way he jumps, the whole shots like on there. And in his interview, like you said, he was like, damn, I actually won this first race. Oh, like y'all in trouble. Like, yeah. I mean, the only weakness at his part was maybe the upstairs game. Oh, shit. He's believing that. You boys in trouble.
Yeah, his upstairs game is good now.
Yeah, he's starting to figure. But again, we've got 12 races left, and you never know. So
you're right.
So off of the AP thing, how's KTM as a whole been in your eyes?
Yeah, I think, yeah, to me, like KTM is, they almost got to rely on like you because you're kind of there on hearing this stuff. But KTM just took a bike and a franchise or a bike that nobody wanted to ride, got Ryan Dungey, created this whole new motorcycle, like from scratch, and start winning it. Not only winning, but dominating like championships. So the fact is, you're telling me like they can't figure it out right now? Like they're struggling that bad
to where they can?
I think it's more of, okay, the difference in the past were the riders were on it. There was just the perfect scenario. The team, everybody's feeding off each other. Like, look, win, no die trying. Like, let's all be all in. I think there's more finger pointing where this guy's blaming him. The riders blaming that. Team's blaming that. And I think it's like, it's more, it ain't my fault on there. Like, they need to get their stuff together, and the team's like, you need to get your stuff together. And they're just in a situation where nobody's really doing anything. Like they're working, but I just think it's more of a persona over there more than anything else. Cause if they were in the title, like you telling me if Cooper's winning the championship, like they wouldn't fix that problem. Cooper's bike, it doesn't look bad on there. Like,
so then what is his downfall, you think?
Yeah. I mean, again, outside couch potato, like sitting on couch the couch. I see the crumbs.
Wet noodle?
Oh, you fell over like a wet noodle? Yeah. I see that stuff. Like, I see the
interviews. You were a wet noodle.
I was wet noodle.
At some point in your career,
I talk about people because I've been there. Yeah. Like, I don't talk about stuff I don't know about. Like if I was in that situation, if I fell over like Cooper, I know how I would be feeling. I'd be tired as hell. Like, on there, I would fall over. If I let dude pass him and I don't fight back, it's because I don't think I can beat him anyway. So, maybe that's just me. Maybe it's completely different, but the things that I said that possibly could happen and what I see is happening on there. I think to your point, the mindset is on there. What makes him who he is his mind. So if he doesn't believe, then like, why would you think that he would be like fighting for a title? Like he's either a title or he's not. There ain't no in between. Cooper don't race for like third, you know? So he, and again, when people pass him, you kind of see it. So
where's he at?
You know, I tell you one thing. I wish I would have raced those triple crowns though. Oh, that's like a heat race, baby. The triple crown of the 10 race, even though like I did that in Bercy, it's tiring, but people, believe it or not, those are actually really tiring. Like the, because the Monster Cup used to have it like that. So the 10 laps, I mean, 10 minutes.
12.
They're actually tiring. 12 minutes. Yeah, excuse me. They're actually tiring, especially the third one.
Well, what I hear a lot of people say is like, it's so intense because you don't really have that time to separate that you're like holding your breath the whole entire time.
Plus everyone said like just the mental having to be on for three
and
races.
And do three starts. And,
Yeah,
that's why I said the outdoor thing with Fernandez, that mental of being like, well, I can't get a bad start and come up. Like outdoors, I can get like a 20th place start and probably end up fifth because I'm stronger. Can't do that out here. Yeah.
No.
You can pass all those guys and catch them, and then it's like, all right, that's where I'm at. So,
but you actually want, you like, you wish you race those.
I mean, just because like my heat race was impeccable.
Yeah, your heat race status was pretty good.
It's so ridiculous that they don't even keep snaps out. Like, I mean, it's just like, James. Yeah, I don't know why I was so good at those things, because believe it or not, like it wasn't like I was like a morning person or like I'm just like fresh. I used to go, there goes my, I used to hate that song with Ricky all the time. There goes my hero. I'd be so mad. Maybe that's why I was so good at the heat races. But I don't know. It was just, I think why other guys were feeling themselves out, getting into it, like the rain day schedule, why they needed that time. I didn't. I was just on point from the beginning, and it started from the way I practiced. Like I didn't warm up before I came out and rode. Like,
oh, we thought that was weird.
Yeah. No, I just get up in the morning, do whatever I'm gonna do. And then like when I get on the track,
like
even race day, no
stretching, no cycling.
He's not gonna touch his toes. Nothing. Weirdest thing. Huh. I always thought he did it in somewhere where we didn't know. Like he just didn't want people to see. I'm like, it's just odd. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just cold.
Well, I didn't touch my toes either, but.
No, that's what I'm saying. Didn't even do that.
But my point was, I used to, it was training my body, like on there. Like I used to come, not even just the stretching. Most guys go out there, they're like, all right, I'm going to do a couple laps, get in the track, break in the track. Hell no, I ain't got time for that. I was trying to do something else. So my mindset was, I'm going to be I want to be comfortable being like while I'm cold. And so when I went in practice, I didn't have no warm up period. There was no 5 minutes or five laps. There was going to track. All right, the thing ain't bogging. When I had two strokes, we got gas. All right, DK, let's start this thing. Like on that buff, you need no. Mm-mm. Like, yeah, sometimes I wouldn't even ride half the track. Like I would just go, and then that's what I think that spun into the heat races, and that's why I was so good in the beginning part of the races, because I trained my body. It's all I did. So. What you practice, what you preach is what you do. So if I want to be good at something and be spontaneous, then I need to do that at home too. And that's how it was. So maybe I could have been a little bit better like in my personal life, maybe under the sheet. I wouldn't like that so much. Maybe I was like that. But I did it for now. So, all right, that was good. Let's go to a commercial break. And we come back. I got a cool thing with these fans. I want to do something cool with them.
All right, we'll be right back.
Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship.
Are you ready? Let's do it.
Don't miss Monster Energy Supercross. Supercross action returns to US Bank Stadium February 19th. Visit supercrosslive.com for more details and get your tickets today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Bubba's World. We're about to wrap this thing up, but before we go, we got to talk about 250 class. Talk about 250 East. Then what we think is going to happen for the rest of the four races until we regroup and do another Bubba's World episode number 4. But what do you think on the East Coast? I personally got, you know, Jet Lawrence. I think Austin, I don't know. Is he hurt? Like, what's going on? I haven't heard too much about.
I don't know. I heard him and they're both riding. I think they're both racing East Coast, but they both crashed at State Fair a few weeks ago.
You mean the PC guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. Faulkner and McAdoo.
Yeah.
Oh, Cameron?
Yeah.
Dude, that dude got ragdoll.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. I give him credit. McAdoo. Smackadoo. He started calling Smackadoo the way he was hitting it. You got to give the guy heart, man. You know who was riding good in the West Coast? Besides, it's like Christian Craig and then the rest.
Right.
Like, that's the gap. The other kid that was on the Mitch Payton deal, he was starting to come up. The
Joe. Little, no,
not
Seth.
Simoto. Not Simoto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Seth. What's his name?
Haymaker.
Yeah.
Hey, he was throwing haymakers?
He said his biggest.
Did you say haymaker?
That's his name.
Haymaker.
Yeah, that's a knob. It's Seth Haymaker, your ass.
Yeah.
I like that, actually. But no, he was coming up, and the little dude, like, he was faster than he looks, really.
Ooh.
Haymaker.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, he threw a haymaker on himself.
He had a win last year.
Yep, Arlington.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
He was so small, I didn't see him.
Yeah, he had a win last year.
Yeah, that's like that other guy that on that Yamaha that had two wins last year. Exactly.
Oh, Thrasher. Yeah.
Thrasher. Yeah. Thrashing fool. Yeah. It's crazy how people like those kids come out of the middle of nowhere. Well, Thrasher and dominate. Like, his win was dominant.
Yeah.
Like at Atlanta. And then you're like, he won, but I don't know. It's gonna be cool to see that East West showdown. Like, it's gonna be hard for anybody. I don't see it. Anybody in 250 class, like the way Craig's rotting. When he goes down and he's coming up through the pack, that speed separation, like, I haven't seen that in a 250 class. I mean, maybe since that bike was out there, but it's been a long time since I've seen the difference. And he don't ride like that all the time. He up front, he'll pull his gap, but it's going to be cool to see if Jet and Austin and those guys can, well, if Craig's on, can they even keep up with him? Because dude is like, dude's fast. I put him up on the 250, the 450 class, and be like, he a podium on the 250 right now. He's fast.
So of these guys on the East Coast, just who's your pick to win it?
Hey, well, all right, let's just go through the little list. We got Jet, we got Austin, we got Levi in the kitchen, we got Smackadoo Reynolds, Styles, got good style, Martin. I would say out of those picks, Jet Lawrence is probably the favorite. Austin, it just depends if he's recovered because he's been hurt a lot. Levi's a rookie. McAdoo. Like, I don't know if he's consistent. Jet Reynolds, I heard he crashed a lot in amateur. I think he's still going to be figuring out. Styles, I don't know enough about him to know enough about him. And Martin would be the only guy I would kind of see maybe could be a title threat because he's been there, but
I think RJ possibly.
I'm gonna go with RJ. I think,
yeah, and RJ, but those guys, like, none of them's won championships since Martin. Martin's an outdoor specialist, and he's getting hurt. He gets hurt a lot in Supercross, whatnot. So it's kind of hard to argue against Jet on there. But that being said, he's gotten hurt too. So I think it's gonna be interesting.
I think his biggest thing is just, like, being able to stay up. Like, yeah. Saw in the outdoor series, he almost threw it away in the last race because he crashed twice in the last moto.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you got to race against who you're actually racing against, and not necessarily, like, you know, the title. And normally you would think, like, focus on yourself, and, like, the trainers, like, just worry about yourself. I mean, you can if you're in, like, 10th place, like, you ain't nobody around you. But sometimes, like, you don't have to take that chance. If you know, like, all right, consistency, do I think these guys would be here? Maybe you don't take that Vince Freeze. Maybe you don't try to make that pass right then because you know your competition. So as much as you are racing yourself, you need an understanding about the guys that you're racing against too. Case in point, the 450 class, why I feel like certain riders don't have a chance because of who's in front of them, and certain riders do have a chance because of who's in front of them. So I just feel like that with Jet, if he just stays up and he's consistent, so far from past history, there's a lot of injuries and a lot of inconsistency on everybody I see on this list. So,
yeah, I'll give you that. There's no clear cut. Oh, that's the guy.
Yeah. Where I do think the West Coast, if Hunter Lawrence, even though, like, sometimes he's not the fastest, he's usually there. And then obviously with Craig, you know, this year, it would have been interesting to see if his teammate was there, Cole, would that have changed anything? But right now, the confidence and the way he is, he knows he's got these guys beat. Hunter's not quick enough off the gate to, like, really give Kristen a threat for a race. Maybe if he was closer to him at the end of a race, maybe that would be something. Mosman, he's fast, but he's not fast. If that makes sense. Like when Craig goes in the back,
he can come up.
He comes up. When Mosman comes in the back, like
he finishes back.
Yeah,
there.
He finishes where he is. So yeah, I just look at the two. Mosman looks like he's trying to go fast. Craig just looks like he is fast.
Okay.
What's your pick, Roger? Who is it?
RJ.
RJ for the championship.
Yeah.
But he's got more insight because RJ, isn't he?
Working with Eldon. Yeah.
Yeah.
So has anything changed?
I don't know.
He's always been skinny.
Yeah, but it's going to go back to my 450 picks. Like, I'm going with, I mean, RJ's been in the class for a while. Like, this is, I mean, it's like his time, I think. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes that hurts you. Sometimes you've been, that's a lot of baggage to overcome, too.
Yeah, but I think he can overcome it with these guys.
Yeah.
It's not like we're missing Justin Cooper. Right. I wouldn't have, I'd probably go with
that's
Cooper.
That's who's missing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's who's missing. Yeah, 100%. I agree with that. I think it's the circumstances and, like you said, who you're racing against, because sometimes that's just hard. It's, I know for a fact, like, it's hard to put back, like, put those injuries and things out of your mind. That's why I thought AC would be better than what he was. Like, unfortunately, he keeps getting hurt. But I said it, like, the fact that he threw that thing away at Vegas and then turned around. Yeah, like, that's a big hurdle. But right now, I think he's fallen back in that situation where he's, like, riding not to get hurt, and all he does is get hurt. So, you know, Jeremy and these other guys, Austin. I think Austin's probably going to need a year to just be healthy and then maybe win a race before he becomes a title threat. But I think it's his last year anyway, right, in this class?
Supposed to be.
I think RJ too.
Yeah. 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 So I give you credit. It'd be between Lawrence and RJ. I give you that. So the 450 moving forward, like you got Jet Lawrence and you got RJ. I got Jet. 250, we kind of got that, right?
Yeah.
Unless Craig gets freezed up in his piece. I don't know.
But to be honest, like going back to our preseason, we did not pick Christian. We picked Colt. For that coast.
Did I? I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either. You might want to go back and check.
Yeah, check the tape. I don't know. But, I mean, he's got the tapes. I don't know. I don't remember picking West Coast.
I didn't even know who was racing.
No, your guess was just whoever won the previous year. You just said Justin and Colt were your picks.
They were hurt.
I could say that.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a Yamaha. I was missing. Interpret. They changed numbers like, you know, underwear around here. So, all right. Well, yeah. And you just never know. They might get freeze though. Yeah. I think Christian still Jet. And then the 450 class, it just, I'm not backing out. You want to change. I give you a mulligan right now. If you want to, I mean, we both would have to change probably Cooper.
Yeah, Coop's my mulligan.
Yeah. That's this show's about authenticity or whatever. Yeah.
I don't want to change my picks. I'm leaving.
We are what we are. So
yeah.
Survival of the fittest. Yeah. You might end up on third one. You might end up on there. I give you that. You got to shave your head.
Told you so.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So,
I told you so during the race. What's going on? Just so you know.
Dude, you don't tell me anything. You're sick half the time. Like, you don't, how do you, like, we three episodes, you already called in once.
But in the 15, 20 years I've been working for you, like, I get one sick day. Well, I missed one video.
We were Supercross only for a minute. Oh, no, I retired for a little while.
Hey, and I took the and heat I was for a lot of
you
missed,
did. You sneaking missed, around trucks.
Missed I, photo shoots.
Nah. Everybody thinks I hate everybody thanks to you.
Oh,
maybe you're only getting it from the source, but that was good. That was good. It's good to see you, man. Like, it's good.
Good to be
I've
back.
Been lonely up in this piece, but it's good.
You got
to
Cole
have.
Beach.
Yeah, I got Cole. Yeah, not Cole. You got we good. Got Cole Beach. You know how he is. You know how he is. But no, it was good. It's good to talk. Some racing, the recaps, they're fun, but it's good to get in.
No, the recaps are good.
It's good to get in with you and we talk about all this stuff. So. All right. Well, let's go on. I'll see you here in a couple of weeks, and we'll have to get this party started. So thank you guys for tuning in to Bubba's World Episode 3, and I'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.